Right now, I would like to welcome Alana Offield. She is campaign coordinator for the Media Literacy Project in Albuquerque. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So this coming Monday, the 30th of June, a very interesting event is happening in Albuquerque. The chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, Tom Wheeler, is visiting New Mexico and doing an event called Nuestras Voces, Our Voices, a youth dialogue with Chairman Wheeler. And the Media Literacy Project and various partners are hosting a panel discussion at 6:30 at the South Broadway Cultural Center. How did this come to happen that the chairman of the FCC is talking to young people in New Mexico about media?
Well, the chairman's office contacted us and let us know that he was going to be in the state on that day and that they would like to do a community event. And they really left it up to us to shape an event that we thought our community would really enjoy and engage with. And we had been looking at some of the other kind of dialogues that he'd been having and interactions that he'd been having since he first came on the job. He's pretty new. And we saw that the group that he hadn't interacted with much was young people. And we work with young people, and we have partners that do really great work with young people. And we saw it as a great opportunity to really bring their voice to conversations on media policy.
It sounds like what democracy is supposed to be when people who are leading large organizations within the federal government are actually listening to the people. What are some of the communication? What are some of the topics that young people are going to be communicating about on this evening?
There's a lot. A lot of people are interested in talking about internet access. We lag behind the rest of the country in broadband build out and home access for the internet, and so we know that especially in rural parts of our state, that's a big issue. And so a lot of our youth will be speaking to that, but also speaking to just cost barriers and how the internet speed that they might be able to afford at their home affects their ability to do their schoolwork or do distance learning or even do fun stuff, too, right, on the internet, watching videos on YouTube and that kind of thing. So there will be a lot of discussion about access, also phone access. And we have some folks that really want to talk about telehealth. In our state, telehealth is a really critical resource in rural communities, and a lot of the youth that we've talked to, they're interested in going into careers in healthcare, so they want to know more about the future of telehealth and how that's going to impact their future careers and how they can get involved now in the policies that surround that issue before, you know, they graduate from college and start working in the field. So those are just a few. But, yeah, there's going to be a range of topics. Also, net neutrality is the big issue of the day, and we expect a lot of people to have questions and stories about why they feel that net neutrality should be protected, and we really want to make sure that the chairman is thinking about youth voices as the FCC moves forward on making a decision around net neutrality.
Let's talk about that for a little bit. What do we mean by net neutrality?
So net neutrality is the basic rule of the internet that has made it be one of the only true level playing fields that we have. Net neutrality says that internet service providers cannot block or slow down content at their whim, that all data, all content has to be delivered at the same speed as other content. Certain content can't be blocked depending on how the ISP feels about it. It basically means that the internet is open for us to upload our information, to find information from around the world. And it's come under threat in recent months, and there was a court case back in early winter, January time, that overturned these rules and basically said that the FCC doesn't have the ability to regulate net neutrality. And so there's been new rules proposed by Chairman Wheeler that maintained some of the old net neutrality rules, namely that ISPs have to be really transparent about their practices, But the biggest changes was his idea of creating, allowing for a fast lane and a slow lane on the internet, so that companies would be able to, big companies would be able to spend more money to make their content load quicker. And so we expect a lot of people to have questions about that night. And while we wish that we could have a youth forum with him just on that topic, we'll talk about other things, but we do expect that to come up quite a bit.
Who is pushing for the fast lane, slow lane, divided internet?
That was a proposal that Wheeler proposed himself. So,
right, but what presumably industry groups does that favor?
It definitely favors internet service providers, big companies like Comcast, Verizon, because they're going to be able to make a lot more money if they can charge, for example, a company like Netflix or Skype or anything like that, more money to make their service load faster and be better for customers. And consumers really pick up a lot of that extra cost in our bills. For example, like Netflix did this sort of kind of backroom deal with Comcast to get their speeds up so that movies would load quicker for folks. And if that continues, if companies like Netflix continue having to pay bigger rates, like that could end up on our wallet. So our bill for Netflix could go up and up. Or services that are free now because companies would have to pay more to internet service providers to provide them at a speed that would work for their customers could not be free. We might end up having to pay for stuff. So it's really the internet service providers that are pushing this idea the most.
There is this weird reality that during evening prime time internet use, Netflix accounts for about a third of all internet use, all mm-hmm. downloading. And, I mean, that's a huge amount of bandwidth. Are some of the problems that we're talking about able to be solved as technology improves, which it does seem to do at a fairly rapid pace? In other words, is there a technological solution that plays a role in this conversation?
I think yes. And I think that when we have net neutrality, we're allowed to see those advances, right? Like, Facebook and different social media sites, if it wasn't for net neutrality, they never would have become as powerful and useful as they are today. So I think that having net neutrality allows for a lot of that. And I even think back to whenever I opened my Netflix account and it was only DVD, right, and you had to get it mailed to you. And then they developed this streaming service, and I remember thinking, wow, this is great. But when I look back, I'm like, oh, those movies kind of loaded a little slowly. And so it's improved so much, and I think that real net neutrality has allowed that to happen and has allowed those technologies to advance. And so I think if we have real net neutrality, we'll be able to see all these programs and services that we love and that we use so much just keep getting better to serve us better.
Whereas if we don't, it leads toward what, a kind of monopoly situation or?
Yeah, sort of how nobody really knows what the internet service providers will do once net neutrality is off the table. They have a lot of options, but one that we sort of think will happen more than others is that we'll start to see a kind of tiered internet service that looks a lot like cable. So, for example, on cable, you pay more for your sports package, right, and you get all the sports channels. So it might be that one day you're trying to log on and you're trying to go to, you know, ESPN.com or a different sports site, and it just loads really slowly. And then you get a notification on your next bill saying something like, oh, to be able to access, like, the following sports websites at this speed, you'll have to pay $5 more per month. And so that's something that we sort of think could happen. And again, like, those changes won't be overnight. It'll be slow. And because internet service providers know that idea is really unpopular. and people don't want to have to pay extra on top of their already high bills for internet to be able to get the content that they want. So it'll probably be a slow rollout, but I think we sort of know also from things that the large ISPs have said before that they're interested in exploring tiered service, and they haven't been quiet about that. Like, they're pretty vocal saying that that's an avenue that they'd like to go down and see how that works. So I think that's something that we could expect to see.
If you had a tiered internet, what would that mean, not just for consumers, but for example, small businesses?
Well, I think that it would be really, I'm trying to think of another way to say really bad, but really bad for small businesses, especially rural small businesses, because they wouldn't be able to pay the fees to have their content appear quicker or to download faster. So for a small business, say in rural New Mexico, they're not going to be able to pay the same amount of money that maybe Target or Walmart would be able to pay to make sure that their content is readily available. As the internet works now, I can just as easily find Media Literacy Project's website as I can Walmart's website. It loads at the same speed, and I can find it if I do a search. And for small businesses, having that ability to compete on this playing field is really important. And I mentioned Facebook earlier, and I mean, Facebook was just a small company that got its start on the internet, as were many others that now have become such an important part of our culture. And I think that without net neutrality, small businesses will be one of the biggest groups impacted in a negative way.
So basically, it would suppress competition and suppress the ability of small companies to really grow and compete, is what I hear you saying.
Yes, absolutely.
So what do you see here in New Mexico? What are our strengths and weaknesses where access to communications is concerned?
Well, we know that we lag behind the rest of the country in broadband build-out. So that means that not only do folks in New Mexico face similar barriers to access through cost, as happens in many other states, but also that in a lot of parts of New Mexico, there's just not the service available, or there's not the service available at a speed that's going to get you anywhere, that's going to get you the content that you want to access, be it distance learning or streaming movies. And I think that that's something we really want to talk to the chairman about and ask him about, you know, what can the FCC do to improve that? I think, you know, I've been talking with a lot of folks that work on telehealth in the state, and I think that there's a lot of really innovative stuff happening here around that because we are a rural state. It's sort of a technology that we adopted a little bit earlier or quicker or in a different way than other rural states have because there was such a need for it. And there's really great success stories around how telehealth is being used and also distance learning. I think in New Mexico, that's something that we could definitely improve and make more available because we don't have a lot of schools that are located in rural areas, and it's not always available for folks to move all the way to Albuquerque or all the way to Las Cruces or really far from where they grew up to study medicine, to become a lawyer, to practice these fields that their community wants and needs. So I think that those are some of the areas, and access really is a barrier that we look a lot at here at MLP. How do we overcome that? Because we know that when people have access to the tools that they need, they then are better able to, like, create their own media and create their own small businesses, and we know that that stimulates our economy. So
it's interesting when you talk about creating your small businesses, it brings me back to something we were talking about before with internet service providers and the power that they have right now. I think a lot of people, myself included, would really like to see a lot more small business internet service providers that were really competing with each other, because right now we have so few choices in, I don't know about Albuquerque, but certainly in Santa Fe, and the choices that we have really aren't necessarily all that great. And so what kind of regulation or incentive would it take to have more small businesses within the telecommunications industry, including internet service provision?
There would really have to be a big shift within the FCC to step away from these big mergers that are happening, because these massive mergers between, for example, the proposed merger between Comcast and Time Warner Cable, that would make them the largest internet service provider in our nation, providing service to over two-thirds of American homes. And those mega companies make it really hard for local companies to compete because they own so much of the infrastructure. And so small companies would have to rent from them or somehow do that. But they make the process very complicated. I mean, any one of us could start our own community municipal network, and it's an idea that we explored for a little while at MLP. But because it was so expensive and so cumbersome and there are so many rules and regulations, we really just had to kind of like step away from that project for a while, and now we're back at the drawing board of like, how do we do that? But we talk about it all the time, especially with the young folks that we've been working with, even with phone service too. They say, you know, I wish we could just start our own internet service provider. I wish we could start our own phone company, because then we would know that we were treating people right. We weren't trying to scam them on their bill or whatever it is. So I think that the FCC really needs to look at how it regulates in a way that favors big corporations and making it more accessible for local people to start their own municipal service providers in a similar way that they sort of shifted some of the regulation around low-power FM radio stations. And so they were able to open up that process so that people could apply to create their own low-power FM radio station. And Albuquerque actually was granted an application. So within the next couple years, there will be a low-power radio station here. So that's something that will be really accessible to the community. And that was a big move for the FCC. People really liked that. And I think that regulation needs to continue to move that way, to making it more accessible for people to build their own infrastructure and phone companies and whatever it is.
Another part of having an open internet is, which you mentioned before, is that providers can't block any legal content. What does that mean? Is somebody out there trying to block legal content right now? What would be their incentive to want to block content?
So an example that we use a lot is that folks use Skype, a video conferencing service to talk to people all over the world. Say Comcast decided to create a similar service, so it would be like Comcast version of Skype. Then Comcast, as a service provider, might want to block Skype as a competing service. And so that's sort of one of the ways that we see that. But we also know that if we allow these large corporations to start blocking content based on, you know, whatever, however they feel about it, sites like maybe Media Literacy Project's website, where we do, you know, we write blogs, we've done different articles and things being very critical of Comcast and being very critical of Verizon and other sort of media-based nonprofits and advocates have as well, they might want to block our content so that nobody could see us be critical of them, depending on sort of the politics of who is running the company at the time. They might decide that they want to block all political content that has to do with a party that they might not stand with or an idea that they might not stand with. It can get really dangerous really quickly.
Yeah. Do the new rules that are proposed by Chairman Wheeler right now speak to any of that?
Not really. Sort of what's been talked about the most is his idea of the fast lane and the slow lane. And that people are still sort of hanging on that because there hasn't been big changes to the former rules around blocking content or transparency, that we're still sort of good on that front. But it sort of goes hand in hand, because while it's good that he hasn't really messed with those rules so much, this fast lane rule opens a door that would quickly get rid of those rules.
Right. So you would sell your fast lane service only to people whom you favored for either competitive or ideological reasons.
Yeah. So
very interesting.
Yeah, so it's a little scary for folks that do, you know, activist work. And often the internet has been the one place where communities can really get the truth out about what's happening on the ground where they live. And I mean, we've seen that happen all over the world, right? The power of the internet to, like, tell the stories of what's happening. And if we lose that ability, I think we lose a really important resource for creating positive change.
Alana Offield is campaign coordinator for the Media Literacy Project in Albuquerque. And once again, this coming Monday, the 30th of June, at 6:30, there will be a panel discussion with Federal Communications Commission Chairman Tom Wheeler. It's called Nuestras Voces, Our Voices, a Youth Dialogue with FCC Chairman Wheeler. It's at, once again, 6:30 at the South Broadway Cultural Center in Albuquerque. And there will be New Mexico State Senator Jacob Candelaria there and many others, as well as the Media Literacy Project and their partners. So definitely worth going to. The Media Literacy Project is on the web at medialiteracyproject.org. Alana, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Yeah, thank you for having me.